Is God has a message. Are you listening?
Amen.
Have you got your ears turned on? Click, click. Right? You got to turn it on. Like you want to hear music on the radio, you got to turn it on, don't you? Amen. And you have to, you know, we go through life and we struggle and we try to do this, we try to do that. And you forget that God is right there with you. The Holy Spirit is there to help you. You know, if you're a little young person like, you know, these three sitting right here, God will help you. He'll help you in school. He'll help you everything. You know, you can pray your little prayer. You don't have to say it out loud and disturb anybody, but you can just pray quite, you know, Holy Spirit, help me, or Father, help me. Help me to learn. Help me to understand this. Show me what to do and keep me safe, and he will help, you know, he'll help you. He loves everybody, especially the children, amen? And big people, you know, we come in a crisis all the time, you know, and we get panicked, we get full of fear all of a sudden and this and that. You know, I used to really get all excited and panic when stuff happened. I shared it, the Bible said we were standing there washing dishes. I guess I was washing and she was drying, and all of a sudden, you know, the sink was full. All of a sudden, I felt this water rushing out of the cabinet or onto my feet while I was in my socks, you know. I go, oh, no, you know, and open the cabinet doors under the sink, and water's just running out, you know. And you just freak out, right? Oh, no, a broken water pipe. Didn't, you know. Well, it was the drain. You know, the sink was draining, and the drain pipe that runs out goes out of the house. It's all plastic, but right at the end, there's metal, and it just, man, something about the size of a nickel or bigger, it just rusted out and just fell out, man. And all that water was draining out of the sink, was coming out of that hole into the underneath the sink and running right out on my feet, you know. But it wasn't very long, and I thought, nope, I'm not going to panic here. Freak out. I know stuff happens worse than this, and God always takes care of it. It'll get fixed, you know, and it did. We have the laundry room is right next to the kitchen, and there's a big wash tub there with faucet and sink, so we could use it until we got it fixed, you know. But, you know, the idea is don't panic, don't come apart every time some little thing happens, right?
Right.
God's there, he'll help you. You know, that's if you fall apart and kind of, we used to use the term come unglued.
Yeah.
You know, just remember the Lord is there, regardless of what it is. He will help you. He's done it time and time again.
Yeah.
There's a lot more weird, bad things that's happened in a hole in a water pipe.
Yeah.
You can blow up your transmission out in the middle of Murderer's Creek. You know, that's when you really want to be. But, you know, once you realize that God is there and he will help you, you just need to listen. Amen?
Yeah.
And pay attention. Praise God. And he will help you. Just calm down and have peace in the Lord, and he'll help you. But see, the thing is, he's talking to us. And my question is, are you listening? Are you listening? Amen? In all of the, turn to Revelations 1, Revelation chapter 2. Now, you know, Revelations is in the New Testament, right?
Right.
The last book. The last book of the New Testament. In Revelation chapter 2, he's talking to the church in Smyrna, and he says, verse 11 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death." Well, that's getting into a whole other thing. Everybody is appointed to die once. There's going to be the first death. That's when you get old and you finally die, right? Or like Mr. Neil Nightingale, he was in an accident and he died. Everybody dies once. That's the first death. Unless you go in the rapture. How many wants to go in the rapture?
Amen.
I do. What about you? Huh?
Amen.
Yeah. I don't want to die an old age of some disease. I'd like to go in the rapture. Amen. I don't get blown up by some terrorist, I'd rather go in a rapture. You never experience dying. It's just like you're alive one moment and boom, the next you're with the Lord. I like that idea, right? Yeah. It's just like, you know, Star Trek, beam me up, Scotty. You know, you don't have to go through death and pain. You just wrap, you're just there, you know. Well, there will be. It could be in our generation, you know. And the second death is, the first death is just dying physically. The second death is going to hell. That's the second death of eternal death and damnation. That's the second death. The first death you can't do anything about. The second death is up to us, right? You have a choice. You believe in Jesus, receive him as your Savior, or you just say, I don't want him, and I'm going to go on my own path through life, you know, and suffer, you know, and then, you know, you can just roll the dice, you know, and hope something good happens. But I'm going to take the sure thing. There is no other way to get in heaven other than Jesus, so you can roll the dice all you want. Don't put no dice in your, hang them up there on your rearview mirror, you know. Okay? Don't do that. You don't want to be gambling with your life every time you go out there. Amen? Amen. I see people with them on their own. I see Christians with dice hanging on their windows, you know. Nah, you just believe in Jesus and you've got a sure thing. It's guaranteed. Amen?
Amen.
But anyway, then verse 17, in that same chapter there, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, the Spirit is talking. Are you listening? Okay? The Spirit's talking. Verse 29, I guess the same chapter, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, here he's talking to the churches, but the Holy Spirit, if you're saved and you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives in you, right? And he's talking to you every day. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? Are we being led by the Holy Spirit? Amen? So clearly the Lord has a message to speak to his people, and he wants us to hear it. See, we can kind of tune God out, and we can be interested in everything else and do our own thing all day long, get involved in all kinds of chaos and whatever. I wished I knew now when I was a young person like those kids over there. I wish I knew what I know now. Why would my life have been different, man? Why would it have changed some things, you know? But it didn't happen, you know. I was just, you know, went through a lot of things, but thank God I did find the Lord, amen? So it's never too late. And so to hear God speaking, it requires an open, receptive, and willing listener. Are you willing to listen to God? You know, we all have our plans, like what we want to do, you know, but, and like somebody said, like Jonathan Kahn said, Rabbi Kahn said when I was watching, he says, he didn't want to, those Jewish people, they don't care what you do, just do not believe in Jesus. That's the, you know, these Jews, you know, they want their kids. A lot of the children are so messed up on drugs and dope and whatever. They want, even Claudia works for, Buckstein, Jewish guy in St. Louis. Oh, their boy was so messed up, so bad. And they were, the wife would ask Claudia to try to take him to church and stuff, you know, a Christian church, and they were Jewish. She'd got past the point of worrying about their son converting to Christianity. He was so messed up, just get them to change. And a lot of them, they want their kids to change, you know, to go to a Christian church and learn how to, you know, change and get out of all your sin, but heaven forbid, don't become a Christian, you know. John the Con said, you know, it's like they thought if you get saved, it's like, you know, you just got to go live in a monastery and they throw away a key, you know. It's like you'll never, your life is over with, you know. And that's what they think, you know, to become a Christian. You can't do nothing that's any fun anymore. You just got to go like this and walk in through the monastery door and they'll shut it and throw the key away and that's the end of your life, you know. Not so. It's the beginning of a new life.
Amen.
A very exciting life. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And, you know, if you're born again, you have the ability to hear God's communication. See, if you're not saved, the Holy Spirit's not living in you. Right? The Holy Spirit only is living in the people that are saved, that are born again, because that's part of the deal. When you get saved, God comes and lives within you. His Spirit lives within you. The Holy Spirit is there. The Bible says it's a deposit, right? A down payment, guaranteeing all the promises of God. The Holy Spirit, your body, it says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? It doesn't say that for heathens, for unbelievers, does it? Only for believers. So they don't have the Holy Spirit in them, guiding them and leading them, giving them the secret wisdom of God and direction in their life, do they? So they just continue on down the road of sin and destruction. But you have the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Ghost, God living in you to give you secret wisdom of God. Because after all, God knows everything, doesn't he? Is there anything that God does not know? He knows when every hair falls off your head. He knows your whole life. He can show you and guide you if we'll listen to him. Amen? But you got to listen. You got to tune in. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Pray and seek the Lord. Amen? So, and he would not tell us to do something that we are incapable of doing, right? He's not going to tell you to go do something that you can't do. For one thing, he can empower you and put that anointing on you to do it, right? In fact, in John 10:3, let's look at that, John 10:3. How many wants to be led by the Holy Ghost? Where do we want to hear the Holy Spirit? Amen? But see, the deal is you got to take it seriously. You got to do it. Amen? Be a doer of the word. And you know what? When you do that, when you really listen and seek the Lord, it just becomes, everything becomes so more, much more real in your life. Because when God starts showing you things and leading you, it gets really exciting. It's really, really good. I'm learning a lot more about prayer, me and Claudia, and taking authority over demons and demonic things and God's answer to prayer. It's going to be more and more important as we go into these last days, man. You've got to know how to pray, and you've got to know your authority over these demonic realms and people, and demons, you know, because it's really going to make a difference. And John, let's see, John 10:3, it says, the watchman, is that right? The watchman, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He knows you. We're like the sheep, right? And Jesus is like the shepherd, and he knows us, right? My sheep hear my voice. We are set up to hear the voice of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Now, we can tune them out, I guess, if you want to. But as one of God's sheep, you are to hear God's voice and follow his directions. Amen? I mean, after all, you hear these guys that go commit crimes and terrible things. They go, well, I heard a voice that told me to do all this bad stuff, you know, right? Well, that's Satan's helpers, the demons that are in that person telling him what to do. Well, in us, it's the Holy Ghost telling us what to do, right? And he's telling us to do good things, amen, and help people, minister to people, serve the Lord. There are numerous things that God has for us that can only be known by the Holy Spirit revealing them to us, amen? There's things, see, in the Bible, there's, you know, it covers a lot of stuff, and in general, it tells us how to live our life. But it's the details. Go here, do this, right? Go see this person, or the personal direction that God has for you to do in your life. That's not in the Bible. It's the Holy Spirit who's going to guide you to do that, these other things, right? These smaller personal things in your life. The Bible's going to tell you in general how to obey God and obey his laws and love your enemies and do that. But it doesn't tell you on Thursday of 2016 that you're supposed to go here and do this, right? Yeah. The Bible doesn't tell you that, right? The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to tell you that. Amen? Yeah. So if you want to be working with God and having victory and success and bearing fruit, I guess, if you really want to bear fruit, I don't know how you're going to do it without listening to the Holy Spirit, right? Because a lot of times we'll just do things on our own that God didn't intend us to do. And we'll think, man, I did all this stuff for God. Well, he never told you to do it. I ain't got to count. It's the things that God is in, right? It's the things the Holy Spirit told you to do. Then you go do that. That's bearing fruit. Sometimes, see, you can think you can be helping things, and you can actually be causing more damage than good. Amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 9. Let's start back in verse 6. I think it won't hurt to do that. 1 Corinthians 2:6, it says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing." Verse 7, no, we speak of God's secret wisdom. Okay? Where are you going to get God's secret wisdom at? From the Word of God, from the Holy Ghost, right? Yeah. A wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Amen. Verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9 now. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10 now. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Amen? Amen. The world don't have a clue to what's going on, man. They're going down the highway 100 miles an hour on their way to hell. And they don't have a clue. They think they're having a good time. But God is warning us. He's showing us these things. He's revealed it to us and is revealing present tense to us by his Spirit. Amen? Amen. The Spirit of God that is in you is going to keep you, if you listen, he'll keep you from going in that wrong direction and, you know, really messing your life up or doing the wrong things. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So the Holy Spirit knows, it searches the deep things of God, and when it's necessary, he reveals them to you. Amen? Amen. Man, you've got the secret wisdom that the world don't know. It don't have a clue what is going on. That is one thing I noticed when I was listening to Jonathan Kahn, you know, this 911 deal that happened, and I watched that on TV live. 1 billion. That was a spooky deal, man. And I knew in my heart that was a warning. It was some kind of warning because it was the Twin Towers, which represented, they were symbolic of the economic power of the United States, see. The Twin Towers, the World Trade Centers, that was symbolic of the economic power of the United States. And boom, they're both just flattened. Come on. That can't be a coincidence, man. That's a sign of something. And here comes we don't have the spiritual eyes that we should have. And God reveals the whole thing, how it all came to pass, the scriptures, the warnings. It all came through this Jewish, born-again Jewish rabbi. And he opened the whole thing up, wrote the book, The Harbinger. And he's got the scripture, Isaiah 9:10, and everything. And it's amazing. He goes into such detail it's just amazing. It can't be no coincidence. He goes into so much detail. His church, where he built his church, belonged to the man and the relatives of the original person that owned that land at Ground Zero. It tells everything. I mean, it's so interwoven with all the stuff that he's revealed. You know, that everything around, when those buildings came down, everything around there was wiped out except one little building. It was a little church, a little chapel. It had a tree growing there. And that tree got killed, knocked over. It was it's in Scripture, all this in Scripture, but that little chapel, that building there was the building in the chapel when our nation was George Washington, you know, became the president, and they got the first Congress together, and they prayed. They marched down to that little church and dedicated it to God, that little church there. And they said in there that if this nation ever turns against God and doesn't acknowledge Him and His providence over everything, that all the hand of blessing and protection would be taken away over our country. I mean, it's just, everything is so interwoven. It's just incredible. That is the only thing that was not destroyed there. You know. Anyway, it goes on. You know, you need to, if you can, watch those videos. Go back on the computer and watch them. But God's hand is just in everything. He reveals these things to us, you know. But thank God for Jonathan Conder revealing all this. Yeah, and the whole point of the whole thing is for the country to come to repentance, just to realize, man, God, you know, he kind of does these things in stages because he's so merciful. And it's because big time judgment is coming, you know what I'm saying? And the idea is that people would open their eyes, spiritually open their eyes and see and repent, right? What is that scripture? If my people who are called by name will humble themselves, you know, and seek his face and repent and all this, you know, God won't do the judgment on us. But even the church, you know, we're so, you know, we're praying and we're doing all this, we think we're real spiritual, but there's so much that's missing. The church in this country, believe me, is really messed up, folks. I don't know how I keep track of these things, I guess because, you know, that's what I do as a pastor. But we were watching a program here the other day, and this guy said that someone he knows real well was talking about this big mega church, 17,000 people in it, and they had a big Halloween party. On the stage, they had a big Halloween deal, and they were playing Michael Jackson's music that was just real demonic. Okay? This is what's going on in a lot of our churches. The choir was dressed like zombies. You ever seen any zombie stuff on TV, commercials or something? They got blood all over and they're, you know? Hey, is this what's supposed to be going on in a church? Our Father's house is supposed to be called a house of prayer. They're doing Michael Jackson and zombies running around playing the music. This, folks, is, I mean, that's demonic. And this is what happened because they're going to entertainment. Smoke, fog machines, lights flashing, rock music, putting on, you know, Halloween plays and stuff. Is this what's happening? And it's going on. He thought it was the only church that ever did it. One bad thing, and he started getting letters, emails about, hey, man, this has been going on for a long time. It's going on all over the place. You know? Can you imagine doing that? Wouldn't you be afraid of God to just strike you dead if you did something like that in church, you know? But they're doing it, so, you know, God is long. He gives you every chance to repent. And like they said, after 9-1-1, you know, for about 6 weeks or a couple of months, people were rushing into churches. Must have been back there because it wasn't out here. And it didn't last very long because everything went back to kind of normal and nothing else happened. But see, there's big, big warnings that are happening and the people will not repent. They're kind of going the other way. They're hardening their hearts to God even more. You know? I mean, when I read in the paper daily practically, or on the internet, take that cross down. Hey, the worst thing they could have done was take the Ten Commandments off the wall. Because those Ten Commandments are still in effect today. Every single one of them is valid today. Every single one of the Ten Commandments is still in effect. Jesus said, you go through there and read those things. Do you think it's okay to murder today? No. Do you have okay to have idols before you? No. Huh? Is it okay to curse the name of the Lord? No. You go right down that list. Every one of them is a fact. And Jesus even said, he didn't come to do away with the Old Testament laws. He came to fulfill them. He says, not one little dot or tittle would be removed until, you know, the end, till everything is fulfilled. Everything. I mean, except the moral and ethical part of the Old Testament is still in effect. The civil part about the Jewish ceremonies and all this kind of stuff, that's done away with, okay? We're talking about the moral and ethical laws that God had in the Old Testament about right and wrong and stuff. Those are still in effect. Those Ten Commandments, when they're out there on the wall, the kids got them upstairs, they are still in effect. You know, one of them says, remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. Well, that's right there in the middle of the Ten Commandments, right? Well, could you get rid of that and just take that one out of the Ten Commandments and throw it away? People don't have no regards for Sundays anymore, hardly. It's a day for boating, skiing, picnics, garage sales, whatever. You know, if I ain't got nothing else to do, well, I'll show up at church, you know, kind of a deal. Man, it's one of the Ten Commandments. It is a serious thing with God. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, it was death. You were stoned to death. You were killed if you did not keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. If you did things on the Sabbath, go pick up firewood to build a fire or something, man, you could be stoned to death. That's how strict the law was. You know, so kind of getting off there, but we can learn something. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, you know, if you start looking at yourself compared to what God's Word said, you go, oh, do I have any room for improvement? Oh, yeah, man. I got like miles. You know how we can all be, you know, obey God better. But here's the deal. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. Amen? Folks, you got the Holy Spirit in you, who is God. And He can reveal you to you the deep things of God and plans for you and directions you should go. In the end times, it's getting dangerous here. He can warn you. He can warn you not to do something. Go here. Matter of fact, in my own life, I've shared this before. I first got saved. And I had my sister live down in Cotton Plant, Arkansas. Okay, so my wife had divorced me because, you know, she didn't want nothing to do with this stuff, Christianity. So we get in the car, and I had enough sense to hold hands with my two little, and I didn't know anything, you know, just a new Christian. And we all held hands and we prayed for God to watch over us and protect us. So anyway, I'm going down through Arkansas doing about 70 miles an hour. And the road was kind of elevated up or just dropped off. And it was swamps on both sides of the highway, you know, where the trees grow in the water. And man, I'm just cruising along 70 miles an hour, you know, my little old Ford. I had a Ford Fairlane or something, I don't know. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and we're just happy, you know, and everything. And I just filled up gas in the last town we come through. We're out in the middle of nowhere, swamps and stuff in Arkansas. And all of a sudden, this voice says, I mean, it was like somebody screamed in my ear. It scared that living daylights out of me. He says, stop! Stop the car right now! Like that. You know what I'm saying? Real powerful, real strong. And it's like, you know, like there's nothing wrong. I'm doing 70 down the road. There's no danger. There's nothing. But this voice just came on. It was just like it was sitting next to me, like audible, scared the heck out of me. I didn't know what. It was like, you know, like you're confused at first, like what is going on? And so it said it again, real loud, just real authoritative. You know, see, Holy Ghost can do that. You know, He can speak real soft, or He can raise the volume. So I started putting my foot on the brake, you know, and slowing way down. And then as we cleared these trees, over to the right, this little tiny one-pump filling station. There was a little shack out there that was maybe, you know, 12 by 8 with one pump in it, big gravel thing. And there was three people out in front of me just talking way out in the country. And I was going so fast, you know, I hit the brakes and I just whipped in and I was skidding in the gravel. And they looked at me like, boy, they were ticked. You know, like, who is this crazy city guy, you know, skidding into our parking lot, you know, in the gravel. I didn't hit them, but I didn't know what to do. I was embarrassed to see them look at me. So I pull up to the pump. And the guy come over and shoot, I was full of gas. I mean, I just filled up. I said, well, fill her up. And about that time, the right front tire just boom! I mean, exploded. You know, the kind real loud that hurts your ears. It didn't hiss out. It just exploded. loaded, man. And I go, oh my gosh, you know. I was almost still living in that bubble when you first get saved, you know. It was so, not very long afterwards. And so I was looking, and I says, well, my son, little Vic, he says, I went to get the open the trunk, get the tire, and he says, Dad, he says, this tire doesn't have a leak in it. Your rim is broken. You know, the metal rim? It wasn't the tire. The metal rim broke immediately since, and that just let all the air out. Just boom, you know, it went instantly. And so I started the car up and just kind of pulled it over to the side out of the way. You know, and I put my spare on. Now, I've never had a rim break ever in my life. Man, I've taken four-wheel drive trucks over stuff you wouldn't believe and bounced them around, and I've never had a metal rim break, you know, because these are, you know, these aren't the tube tires. These are the, what do you call them, you know, the tires that we use today, tubeless tires or whatever. But you know what? I was doing 70. If that tire would have done that, and me and my kids in there, it would have just probably sucked me right off that highway. There was hardly no shoulder at all. And you just go down into a bunch of trees and a swamp and water, probably killed us and drowned us or who knows what. You know what I mean? You understand, the Holy Ghost can save your life. I've had it happen, man, more than once. So thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. But not only that, will He warn you. He'll keep you safe, especially in these last days, man. We have to depend on the Holy Spirit and God's hand of protection on us. Amen? And we want to be listening. We want to have our ears tuned in. My neighbor, Miss Neil, that was killed, well, he's in his 30s, man. He's got his whole life. Beautiful wife. You've probably seen her picture in the paper. Tammy, little boy, whole life in front of him. Bang. It is over in a heartbeat. You know what I'm saying? That's how quickly it can happen. You want to be listening. Now, whether he was saved or not, I don't know. But, you know, I've read of people that's testimonies that the Holy Spirit says, you know, stop or move over here, do this, do that. And then here comes a train or something, you know. The Holy Spirit will protect, save you. You've got God's protection. If you listen, if you pay attention, it can save your life. Amen? It's important. And we have this, so we need to listen. God is talking to us, and He has a message. Are we listening? Amen? Every day, as you pray, listen for the Holy Spirit's revelation to you. He will communicate with you with words, with desires, with thoughts, and impressions in your mind. See, that's what you got to understand now, is it's not always going to be words. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you and wants you to do certain things, sometimes it'll only be an impression or a desire. Okay? It's not always going to be words like He told me, stop the car right now. It didn't matter where I was at. He just wanted me to stop it right now because that tire, that wheel was going to break. I was just fortunate there was a little place right there that I could pull over. But if not, I would have just had to stop that car right there dead on the highway, see? That tire was that wheel was going to break and it was going to go. And if I didn't hit the brakes and slow that thing down and stop, we could all been killed, you see. But a lot of times when, like, I can... That was extremely urgent. Now, a lot of times, like, I maybe on a Saturday or some one day, I'm in my office and I'm studying, I'm getting a sermon ready for Sunday. And this happens to me a lot. And I'll spend maybe a couple hours or whatever in there, and I got my computer and all my books, and I'm reading things and researching, I'm talking, you know, and I'll think I got me a pretty good sermon, you know.
Yeah.
And I get up Sunday morning, and doggone, if the Holy Ghost don't say that, ain't it, boy? Because what happens is, see, when I get the right one, I feel good inside. It's like that. I get real excited about the Word, man. You know, my spirit's excited about it. Is I know it's the right one. You get up during the night even, you wake up and go, oh, no, that ain't the one. I can tell. I ain't excited about it, man. It's I ain't got it in my spirit, you know. And I know, man, I about to get up, get my coffee, and get in the office and start studying because I know the Lord has another one for me. Well, He did that today, you know. But it happens a lot. You think you got the right. Now, that sermon that I got was probably a good one, but I'll have to put it, file it with my other ones, you know. I got to start in, and I'll start in, and I'll keep looking. I got over 200 sermons that I've preached just in my computer, or it may be a new one. You know what I mean? I might find one that I preached in 2005, and I'll click. I'll start reading over all the notes and everything, and all of a sudden you start getting excited in your spirit. Boy, the Holy Ghost, that's the one. That's the one. You know, and that's what you go with. It's just not words. It's sensing desires, and you know what I mean? And you have to go that way. You have to go with the Holy Ghost. It won't always be words. It'll be impressions. It'll be desires, you know, and things. Thoughts. We always go, but you know, we always go back to the Word of God to verify what we have received is the true Word of God. Amen? You can get an impression to go this way or that way, but you got to make sure it's the Word, right? You better have Scripture for it. See, that's the whole thing. A lot of these people are getting up and preaching and saying all kinds of stuff just right off the top of their head. God's not even in it, you know. It's got to be the Word. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. You know, in under the old covenant, God spoke in Amos 3:7. He said, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets." He always reveals it. You know, in the Old Testament was the prophets. Well, we got the Holy Ghost in us. He'll reveal it to you. Amen. And we see this as God spoke to Abraham concerning the impending destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was going to wipe it out, you know. The only thing was, Lot was down there. And God so regarded Abraham. He's my friend. He's the one I made the covenant with. I'm not going to wipe that place out. Because, see, his blood relative is down there in that town. I'm going to talk to him about it first, right? I'm not just going to wipe that place out and then have Abraham go, you know, be upset and angry because God did that to him, killed one of his relatives. And, you know, the family, without ever saying anything to him. So God talked to him, revealed what he was going to do. And Abraham, you know how he bargained with God? Man, that's pretty doggone bold, isn't it? Well, will you do it if there's 50 righteous people there, you know? No. Well, then he goes down to 40 or 30, and he keeps going down, you know, to 10 or something. I mean, he was really pretty bold to do that, you know? But needless to say, he did get Lot out. But he revealed these things to him, see. He revealed things to us, amen? See, as a new covenant believer, you have a father-child relationship with God, and you can expect him to reveal to you what you need to know, right? Now, I don't need to know everything about what Lynn Miller's doing or what Nate is doing or Mary's doing, right? That ain't none of my business, amen? But he will reveal to me the things that I need to know. Right? The things concerning me and the path that I'm walking down, right? So, because I don't want to know anybody else's business. It gets so crazy that it drives you nuts. You know? You just need to know what concerns you and in your life, in the path, right? And the Holy Spirit will show you that. Amen? Just believe that. We have the Spirit of God living in us. Some people put too much trust in the ministry of other people. In their counsel, instead of seeking the Holy Spirit and hearing the Holy Spirit for themselves. People sometimes can be right and sometimes they can be wrong. If you want to make sure you're getting the right stuff, if you get it in here, you know, you're getting the good stuff, see? You have to seek for yourself. It's like people who never read their Bible or anything. They just go to church and they listen to what's being said, but they don't ever open their Bible. You better find out for yourself, because then you'll know if that guy up there talking is telling the truth or not. Is he leading you astray? You know what I'm saying? What if he's saying things that's not true? What if he's teaching a doctrine and it's not right? How are you going to know unless you know the Word of God for yourself, right? Unless you read it in your Bible, you read your Bible and you pray and you seek God and the Holy Ghost talks to you, then you know when somebody's saying something that's not right, right? It's just like a dog. In the owner, the dog knows the owner's voice, right? Well, most of us all had pets, right, or dogs. He'll come when you say, "Come here, boy." Well, he'll come running right to you. If a stranger does that, That dog doesn't know that stranger's voice, does it?
No.
Well, unless it's a pretty dumb dog, you know. They'll just stand there and kind of growl, look at you, right? That's the way it is with Jesus. And once you read your Bible and learn the Word and pray and hear the Holy Ghost, when somebody comes along and preaching something else, you'll know it. It's just like a dog that knows, that's not my master's voice, right? You'll know, that don't sound like Jesus to me. That don't sound like the Word of God. See, and you'll know it. But see, if you never open your Bible and read, you never hear the Holy Spirit, you never do anything. You know, somebody could say anything and you'd believe it, you know. It's just like that picture, you know, a little baby bird sitting in the nest. Their mouths are wide open, you know. Remember, everybody's seen a picture of that. Mama bird flies up. Bird never even opens his eyes. She just starts shoving worms down his throat, right? Well, you don't want to be like that baby bird with her eyes shut and your mouth wide open, right? And let that person just shove anything down your throat that they want to. No, you better have your eyes wide open and your ears tuned in. You got to know if it's the Word of God. Amen? God wants and desires a personal relationship with you. Whatever you hear from anyone concerning doctrine or direction, you should check your own spirit and the Word of God. You know, if somebody says, oh, the Lord, I got a word for you. Thus saith the Lord, you should go do this and this. Well, unless you, what I've been taught is, you know, you just put that on the shelf. Because you ain't going to do it unless you get it in here. Okay? If the Holy Spirit reveals to you and tells you, and you've been noticing over time this desire that like you feel like the Lord's moving you to do a certain thing, and then somebody comes along and says, I got a word for you, and it confirms that, you know, that's good. That lines up and agrees with your spirit, what you've been getting from the Holy Spirit, right? Now you can use that. That's confirmation. But if somebody comes up and says, I got a word for you, and it's something way out of the blue, that you have not sensed the Lord talking to you about at all, don't go do it, you know. Put it on the shelf and wait and see and pray. Is the Holy Spirit leading you that way at all or what? You know what I mean? Don't just listen to a person's voice, because God will show you what to do in your spirit by the Holy Ghost, right? He'll tell you. You don't sell all your possessions and head for Africa because somebody said you need to go to Africa and preach, you know. Brother, you'll end up starving to death or having some fellow cook you up in a pot for supper out there in the jungle, right? And that ain't my idea of a good time, I can tell you that. God's plan is clear. In Matthew 24:14, he says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So we're called to advance the kingdom of God. We're not called to just be lazy and go fishing every day and watching, you know, as the world turns, or General Hospital, or just having a good... We're not here on this earth just to have pleasure and enjoy things. We are here to serve God and to bear fruit. Amen?
Amen.
And to help advance the kingdom of God. Now, you've got a purpose in your life. Amen? Every one of us has been given what's called the ministry of reconciliation. Amen?
Amen?
Try to lead others to God. Amen? Talk to them about Jesus, about the gospel. Brother Lynn's always telling somebody about God. Amen?
Amen.
He drinks 10 cups of coffee and he cuts loose on a boy. You know, has anybody ever heard of the doomsday clock? You ever heard of the doomsday clock? Well, you can just Google it, you know, doomsday clock. It's a clock how do I put this now? It's when they think total catastrophe is going to hit the earth, kind of almost like a Armageddon doomsday deal. And they I think they started up this clock in about 1947, 48, when Israel became a nation. Well, that time, that clock, it was so bad, they had it set at 3 minutes to midnight, okay? They said, this is how close we are to just an unbelievable catastrophe in this world, okay? And see, and that's when the Russians began testing the atomic bomb. You know, we had the atomic bomb. We dropped it on China, Japan twice to end the war. And so, of course, Russia and all of them, they were going crazy trying to get it, because if we had the atomic bomb and they didn't have it, boy, we would have way more power, see? So they immediately got on and they got the bomb and started testing it. And that clock just zipped right up 3 minutes to midnight. Now, I heard somebody the other day say it was only 2 minutes to midnight. But I just Googled it this morning, and it said it's... The clock will back away from midnight, depending on if it's peaceful and everything's going good. But right now, it was 5 minutes, 5 minutes to midnight last year, I believe. Now, they've moved the hand up on that clock to 3 minutes to midnight. Now, midnight would be when a just unbelievable disaster hits the world. Not the United States, the world. It's up to 3 minutes. These are not priests and rabbis that are running this clock. Even the heathen know, man, this world is in deep, deep trouble. You understand? Even the heathen are smart enough to see what's going on, man. You know what I mean? They moved it up from 5 minutes to 3 minutes to midnight. That's how close. Well, why couldn't they back it off to, say, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, you know? I mean, things aren't so bad, right? They've got it sitting there 3 minutes to midnight. It wouldn't take that much to just spark some really terrible things on this earth. You got Russia, you got China, you got Iran, North Korea. There are new diseases and plagues kind of popping up all the time. You know what I'm saying? 3 minutes to midnight. So even the heathens know. And I think this clock, they came up with out of Stanford University. And it's people in all walks of life that were in the government, in the military, and secretaries of defense, and all these different educated people. They're saying that our world, that's how bad it is. And they're saying that the environmental thing is a big part of that too. So you see, there's no room, there's no time for going backwards, right? In your Christian walk, in your beliefs and what you do, you don't go back, you don't retreat now. It is critical that we all get closer and closer to Jesus. Like Jonathan Cahn said, right now it's that bad. He said, if you got things in your life that shouldn't be there, get them out. If there's things in your life that you should have, get them in. Get things right with God. Do what's right. Repent. You know, be right with God. And I was thinking, man, you know what? What we need is today is a modern day Jonah. You know, I mean, he went kicking and screaming, but he did go, right? Yeah. It's either that or you stay stuck in the mouth of a whale, the belly of a whale, right? Man, we need somebody. Where is the person who can get up and just get in the face of the king and say, look, in 40 days, this country is going to be wiped out in judgment, man, unless you people repent. But there isn't anybody like that, you know? Now, I think that Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, is moving in that direction, because I'm hearing more and more about him making statements and saying things, you know, that's catching a lot of attention. He's warning. You know, he was supposed to say the prayer and stuff at the president's prayer breakfast or Congress and all that. They booted him out of there because he criticized Muslims, you know. Well, come on, folks. Look what's happening to Europe. It's been all these Muslim refugees are coming in. The crime rate's gone through the roof. Women are being attacked and raped, and there's violence. And, you know, it's like, you know, somebody wrote a book once, and you might know who it is, but he made this statement. He says, and I hope you're not a liberal Democrat, but if you are, you know, you're never too late to change. He said, liberalism is a suicidal mental disease. Okay? A suicidal mental disease, because if you follow it on out to the end, you're basically committing, you know, suicide, because you're going to go away from God totally. You're going to refuse to acknowledge God, and you're going to go a way that is wrong. Okay? Kill the babies, 55 million of them dead, their blood shed, homosexuality, all that. See, they go for anything as long as it ain't for God. Okay? As a matter of fact, this thing I read just recently said in a school back east, they were going to study religions. They spent one day on Christianity, and they really criticized it and say it's weak and blah, blah, blah. They spent 2 weeks on Islam, and they made the kids recite things that would be converting to Islam. They spent 2 weeks on Islam, saying how what a great religion it is. It's way better than Christianity. And they actually had them memorize and recite things that would convert them to Islam. The words that you had to say if you were going to become a Muslim. And a father protested. He said, hey, he calls up the school. He says, I want my daughter excused from this class. And I don't know, they said, I didn't know what was said, but they sent him a letter to his house that said he was banned from even coming on school property because he objected to what they were doing to his daughter, indoctrinating her into the Muslim religion, right in a public school. Well, how come if you're a Christian, you can't wear a cross or you got to take down this, or you can't say a prayer, right? See, it's all around us. It's happening everywhere. So you got to understand, these are dark times. These are perilous times we're living in. We need to hear the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Even the heathen say the doomsday clock is set at 3 minutes to midnight, right? See, things could happen at any time. But if you're a believer and you love Jesus and you got the Holy Ghost in you, you're not worried about it. You're not full of fear. Amen?
Amen.
Actually, instead of slowing down and backing up, we need to step on the gas, right?
Yeah.
And start serving Jesus going forward. In Matthew 25, what do we got here? In Matthew 25 and verse 32, it says, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as shepherd he separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Those are the believers and the Christians. So they're going to separate the Christians from the heathens, the unbelievers, okay? And to the Christians, the believers, he's going to say, come, take your inheritance. It's been prepared for you. Verse 35, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. So doing good works and helping the poor and the sick, man, is a big deal. Amen?
Yeah.
We shouldn't ever forget that. We can't just be concerned about us and what we're doing. Amen? Because look what he says here. Look what he says. You were hungry, you helped him. He was thirsty, you gave him something to drink. You invited him in, you gave him clothes. When they were sick, you helped them. When they were in prison, you visited them and helped. Verse 37, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? Verse 39, when did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king replied, I tell you the truth. Whenever you did this for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Jesus is saying, when you do these things and help people, it's just the same as you're doing it for Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
When you help the poor, the sick, the needy. Verse 41, then he said to those on his left, depart from me. These are the goats. You who are cursed into the eternal fire. Hey, I don't want to be one of those goats, do you?
No.
I want to be one of the sheep, one of Jesus' sheep. Amen?
Yeah.
A believer. I believe in Jesus. Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Man, that place wasn't even built for us, really. The hell and all that. It was made for the devil and those demons. It wasn't made for us. But because you reject Jesus, he'll throw you in there with the devil and the demons, see? For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you? He replied, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous will enter life. All believers must be ready and alert for Jesus' return. Amen? Working for the kingdoms. Don't be lazy and don't waste your life. Amen? Be engaged, working for the Lord, engaged in the kingdom of God, doing something. Amen? Now, you may not be able to be a preacher or evangelist or something like that, but even if you're married and you have kids and you go to work someplace or this, that, remember, you're a Christian and you're still serving God. Amen? There will be somebody there. Eventually, you'll get a chance to witness to. Amen?
Amen.
And so you keep your ears up. Keep that antenna up, man, because one day the Lord's going to show you they're ready. They're ready to be harvested. They're ready to receive Jesus. They've got problems in their life, and they don't know the answer. But guess what? You know the answer, right?
Amen.
You know Jesus. So you remember, you represent Jesus. Don't go be doing a bunch of bad stuff like the heathens of the world, right? Don't be looking like them. Don't be talking like them. And don't be acting like the heathens. You belong to God and you should be represented. You are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right?
Amen.
Be careful about your conduct and how you talk and how you act. You're representing the Lord there. Do you want them to think that Christians are just like every other sinner in the world? Well, we were sinners, but we're forgiven, right? And when you're born again, you're changed. And so you don't do those things anymore. Amen? And so, be ready. When you get to heaven, don't you want at least one person to run up to you and say, thank you, thank you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thank you, you prayed for it. Thank you that you told me about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Willie. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Nada. You prayed for me. Amen? You led me to the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, man, it wouldn't be that good to go to heaven and not have nobody come up to you and say that, right? Praise God. You know, there's a scripture that says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Amen? He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit will even show you the future. He will show you what is yet to come. Amen? You've got the Holy Spirit in you. You've got the secret wisdom of God in you. Amen?
Amen?
Tune in. Like the Bible says, let those who have ears, you know, hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, what a difference that'll make in your life. Amen?
Amen.
And the church, in closing, the church has known for 2,000 years that Jesus is coming again, right? And yet many believers have become lethargic and drowsy. They are no longer excited about the soon coming of the Lord. As a result, there is little effective witness given that the Lord is returning. People have become so lethargic. They're not excited. You know, in the one sense, we see the dark clouds gathering around the earth. Wars, rumors of wars, diseases breaking out. The immorality and the evil stuff is just unbelievable. Just unbelievable what we're seeing daily. It's like everybody's trying to outdo each other as far as who can do the next evil, think up the next evil thing. And it can get you depressed if you don't think about the fact that the day of the Lord is coming. And the day is getting closer and closer when we will be with the Lord. Amen? And the Lord, eventually, we're going to get out of here before it all comes down. I mean, that's what I believe. And before the worst of it, the tribulation, the 7 years. I mean, it's going to be bad. We'll go through some stuff. I mean, you know, Christians all through history have gone through a lot of bad stuff, you know. Well, look at the Christians in the Middle East getting their heads cut off and slaughtered, right? Yeah, so it can get real bad, amen. But I don't know that if they're spirit-filled. I mean, I think the Holy Ghost would have said, get the heck out of here, man. I'd have moved out of there a long time ago. He'll tell you to do that. He'll warn you. He did it all through the Old Testament. He'd warn them people, go here. Well, heck, he had Mary and Joseph take baby Jesus to Egypt, right? You see, so you pay attention because God will protect you, but sometimes he'll tell you to do something. You better do it too. Amen? So as we see these things happening, but we can still get excited and say, look, hey, man, there's only one hope for you, you know, is Jesus, man. Give your heart to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Because bad times are coming, and really, to me, the way it is now, you know, the most important thing you can do is just lead others to the Lord because it's that close, you know. Get them saved. You got to get them saved first. They can learn a lot, you know, depending on how much time there's left. They can learn a lot. The Holy Ghost can teach them. They can read their Bible and grow. But get them saved. Amen? Because you don't know how much time is left. You really don't. It could happen this year, 2016. It might not happen for 20 years. I don't know. But see, the thing is, we don't know. It says, Jesus said, it'll be just as in the days of Noah. Just as in the days of Noah. The people never had a clue. And one day it started raining. Boom, they got in the ark, slammed the door shut, sealed it. And we all know the rest, man. Everybody on earth died except for that one family. I guess eight people? Yeah. Anyway. Praise God. I hope it's all about listening and hearing the Holy Spirit. What God has a plan for you. He has direction. He has things he wants you to do. It doesn't matter if you're young like these children here, or Willie or Sherry or Jane or Mary, Nate, all of us, right? He has something for you to do. Moses didn't really start doing much until he was 80. Right? Abraham was about... It said he was 75, you know, he was started out in that city of Ur, U-R, and he went up to this other city, and he stayed there. There's 25 years went by before he ever left for the promised land. He was 75 years old, you know, before he ever left for where God told him to go. I guess they had to wait it out until his dad finally died. His father finally died there. But he could still use you, you know? Amen? All right. Is anybody... need prayer or anything this morning, or somebody need prayer? All right, we're all happy. We're all, oh, yes, sir.